Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Oh, my goodness. Well, it is August, and you know what that means, especially here in Florida. It's time for everybody to go back to school, whether you're in school, whether you're teaching school, whether you're driving the school bus, you're the crossing guard, you're behind the school bus, the traffic. Everybody goes back to school in one way, shape, or form. So at least I hope you are taking advantage, if you're here in Florida, of the tax-free holiday that's going on now, and I think it goes on until the 9th. So if you have school supplies to buy, I'm going to post that list again on the G's Power Hour Facebook page that from the state of Florida so that you'll know what you can and cannot buy. And also I'd like to advise you to take a listen to the Tech Thursday show, which is on the third Thursday, so go in to Blog Talk Radio, look for G's Power Hour, find the date that that show was on, and take a listen because he gives some good advice toward the end of the show in terms of things you can buy toward for back to school. Anyway, it is the first Monday of the month on G's Power Hour, and that means it's Mortgage Monday, and we have DeBeer Adair of Rise on Mortgage on with us. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better. I have to make this admission, this confession to all my listeners and family and friends and all that kind of stuff. I guess I'm a little shallow, and I try not to be, but I should not be defined by having a car, but I finally got a car this weekend after the accident I had on the 4th of July. And I have just truly determined that I've been, like, feeling whole or complete without my car. So I'm sorry if that's a little shallow, but I have to say I'm feeling 100% better now that I have wheels.
That's good to hear.
Yes. So how are you today? How was your weekend? Doing all right?
Weekend was good. You know, the weekends are never long enough. So, you know, it's like
yep.
Friday ends and then Monday starts. So I got a chance to catch up on a few things this weekend, but as I said, it's never enough time.
Exactly. You know, we said we're going to do this this weekend, we're going to do that this weekend, and a lot of, half of the list got blown out the window. And it's a shame because the weekends really are supposed to be for kind of chilling a little bit, kind of recharging the batteries. So, I mean, I would just suggest that everybody, no matter how busy you are on the weekends, please find some downtime so you don't get burnt out. In the meantime, so, yeah, we're talking about mortgages, and we're going to get to the updated mortgage news and house news in, you know, later on. But one of the things I want to reiterate that you're going to help me with is if you are an educator, you know, and you know, I guess this is a good time for me to start on that buying yourself a house for Christmas program that I like to always pitch. But if you're an educator, you know that you have some particular options for yourself. So can you talk about that, Javier?
Yes, for educators, we do have programs that will actually finance 100% of the purchase price, which is a very big deal in today's market because, as we know, prices have not only gone up, but a lot of sellers are not so willing to put money towards closing costs or negotiate on price because they're getting the asking price and in many cases above asking price. So for a lot of buyers, it's actually priced them out of the market, or the money that they actually saved for down payment now no longer just covers the amount needed to actually get them into the home because now they need money for closing costs. So with the Educator Mortgage Program, we can actually finance 100% of the purchase price. So let's say you're getting an FHA loan. The way that would actually work is that we will actually give you the 3.5% for the down payment, and we'll also finance the other 96.5%. So you actually will get 100% financing. So it's an excellent program for anybody that's in the education field.
So now, does that happen through a particular lender? Are all lenders available to provide this program?
All lenders can provide the program, but not necessarily all lenders do provide the program. So you just definitely have to find the lender that does offer that program.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
different lenders don't offer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say that certain lenders don't offer certain programs just because they don't add it. They don't include it in their portfolio of loan programs, or they may not have underwriters to underwrite that particular type of loan program. So, with no lender can actually offer everything. Because unless they are just like a super big powerhouse and they have that. But a lot of times they actually have certain niches that they really focus on. And what they actually, you know, may have two or three niches, that's what that lender particularly focuses on. So not a lot of lenders actually focus on the 100% financing.
Okay. All right. Now, is there any particular downside to doing the 100% financing? Are the rates higher, for example?
No, there's no real particular downside to prefer that you will have a second mortgage for that for the down payment. Now,
okay.
I'm not sure if I would really call that a downside because you actually got a chance to save the money by not having to put that money down on the home. So
mm-hmm.
One thing that you do have to keep in mind is that if you ever refinance in the future where the pool cash out lower your interest rate or possibly sell the home, you do have to know that that second mortgage will have to be paid first. So say that you're, let's just use $200,000. Say you bought a home for $200,000 and
mm-hmm.
they gave you $7,000 for the 3.5%. In the future, if you want to refinance your home to take cash out, let's say of $10,000, well, out of that $10,000, they're going to pay the second mortgage. Now, keep in mind, the second mortgage, I say mortgage, but it's really like a silent mortgage, meaning that you don't have to make any payments on that mortgage for a certain period of time. Then, of course, after a certain period of time, then it's forgiven. But whenever you refinance, because there is a lien against the property, they are going to want that money to be – they will want to be paid in full first before they allow you to take any cash out. So if you want to take $10,000 cash out, really, if you have a $7,000 second mortgage, you really have to take out $17,000 so you can actually pay off that second mortgage.
Okay, I see. So is it any kind of mortgage in terms of length of time, and are there any prepayment penalties? When I say length of time, you know, 15, 20, 30 year.
Right, so you can actually get any of the above, 15, 20, 30-year mortgages. As far as the second portion, no, there's no prepayment penalty. You know, usually after 6 months of on-time payments, you could refinance and get rid of that second mortgage if you really like to. Now, you can refinance before then, so you don't have to actually wait 6 months technically, but there are certain – I guess to say guarantees when you deal with any type of lender or broker. So it's just you, I guess, hopefully that the broker you work with did a good job that you would hopefully want to stay in the mortgage for 6 months, because it is a strike against them. Against the broker or the lender, whoever originated the loan, if you're not in that loan for 6 months. So will you be penalized? No, but whenever a broker brings a mortgage to a lender, they're at least hoping to have that loan for 6 months. So if you're getting a loan, well, I should say for the FHA conventional VA loans, those type of standard loan programs, they're hoping for at least 6 months. There's definitely no prepayment penalty at all, but it does count against the broker if somebody gets a loan in, you know, let's say August, and then they refinance in September. So hopefully, like, your broker enough to stay in the mortgage for at least 6 months.
Okay. All right. So basically you have to go and if you are an educator, you have to ask your lender if they do the 100% financing for educators. And would there be any particular reason other than, I guess, the normal reason when you're applying for a mortgage that an educator would be refused?
No, as long as you're an educator, that's the biggest thing for that particular program. Other than that, no, as long as you're actually working, if you were working but you're not currently employed as an educator, yeah, there would be a challenge, or say that you plan to go back. There may be a challenge there because there's no guarantee that just because you plan on going back, but you took a break, that you will actually go back. So that would be the challenge in getting this type of loan if you're applying for it.
Okay. And then do you have to be an educator, like a teacher or instructor or whatever, professor, or can you be employed by a school system?
If you're an admin?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I don't want to give the incorrect information. Because I have definitely done this program quite a bit, but just happened to be all teachers. And it is marketed as a teacher's program. But I would love to say that, yes, anybody in education in any position, but I'd really have to do some research and let you know, because I don't want to give you misinformation there.
Right. No, I understand.
Incorrect information.
So, yeah just when you find out, just get back to me, and I'll just, you know, let everybody know. So. Anyway,
yeah, no problem.
So we're going to take a quick break because I want to move on to another topic, but I don't want to get into a minute in the middle of it and then take a break. So we are here with Jabir Najjar of Rajan Mortgage. This is Mortgage Monday on D's Power Hour. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. D's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet or some other fundraising event, need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Mortgage Monday on G's Power Hour. We're here with Jabir Najjar of Rajan Mortgage, who just told us about the 100% financing program for the educators. We're doing our back-to-school spin on G's Power Hour. And so the other topic I wanted to get to is using your property to secure a loan that you would use for student loan, whether it's doing a refi or a HELOC or whatever, to get money for tuition, for whether it may be college tuition, or maybe if you are doing a private school or something like that and you need education, tuition there for that education. what is are the how would someone go about doing that? Would they just refinance, or is it better to get a home equity line of credit, or and are the interest rates comparable or better? DeBeer?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed that I was muted. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I guess I was talking to myself.
it happens.
So they are comparable right now, because with home loans, rates have actually dropped quite a bit again this over the last couple of weeks since last time we spoke. So I'm hoping they stay that way. They're not going to. I know, you know, over the course of time, you've always heard me say that, you know, can't guarantee anything, and sometimes rates go up. They go up a full point at times since we've been doing the show, and then they'll be down a full point. But as of today, they're definitely comparable. The only thing is that I would say that if you say that you're looking to take a student loan out for your child, for example, and you know that what the total cost of school will be for that child, if you take that money out today in 2021 to cover 4 years of college, now you're paying interest on money that you actually don't need yet, and you probably just have it sitting in a bank account, assuming that you don't spend it. Now, say you refinance today just to cover the first year of college, then next year you're going to have to refinance again to take out more money again. And the thing is with refinancing is that every time you refinance, there's no way around it. You're going to deal with closing costs. It's just a part of it. The government's going to want their transfer, their transfer fees. Title company has to be involved to record a new mortgage. The mortgage company charges, you know, processing fees. It's something you can't get around. So you don't want to actually refinance every single year that your child's in college. You're going to spend too much money in fees. So another option would be, and don't get me wrong, unless you know that, say that it's the last year of college and, you know, you pay for the 3 years and you just need one more year to cover one more year, then that's a totally different story. But if they're just starting, then that may not be the best strategy. Now, the line of credit actually may not be a bad strategy if you know that you'll be able to pay the student loan down in a shorter period of time. Say you know you have big, say that you're in an industry where you get commission checks. You know, you have a big commission check come in a couple of months, and you'll be able to pay it down. It's not a bad thing. The thing is that with lines of credit, that they're not fixed-term loans. So if you're making those minimum payments on the lines of credit, you could pay that off. You could possibly be paying on that line of credit for the next 20, 30 years because there's no limit. But the other thing is that there's also a possibility that in the future that the bank could actually cut off that line of credit. So I think Wells Fargo is one of the ones that recently mentioned that they're going to be cutting off lines of credit to some of their consumers. So you always want to have that backup plan. So I'm not saying that lines of credit is not a good thing. It definitely is a great thing. You just want to have a strategy on how you pay off that line of credit, that if over the course of 4 years you take out $20,000, $30,000, or $80,000 on a line of credit to help put your child through college, that you're not paying on that student loan for the next 30, 40 years, which I guess in America, you know, that's one of the big, you know, topics is student loans, because we tend to carry those for a very long time.
Okay, so, I know there, and I'm not even just talking about for kids, you know, going to school, but I'm also wanting people to consider, especially in this market where a lot of things have changed, and there may be some people that are considering, you know, going back to school themselves, maybe getting another degree or just maybe enhancing whatever they have just to make themselves more marketable. Right now. So that's why
okay.
I wanted to kind of address all of that as well. So go ahead.
Yeah, actually, in that case, it may not be a bad thing. Say you're going back to take on, you know, get an additional skill, or maybe you're going back to school and you know that, you know, it'll be 1 year, maybe 2 years. Yes, you can possibly take out those funds all at, you know, at the beginning by refinancing your home, or taking out a line of credit. Because the other thing to keep in mind is that, especially if you've been in the home for a while and you pay down the mortgage, there is a very good chance that by refinancing, you could actually take out wherever that those funds needed for a school may be, whether it's $5,000 or $20,000, and your mortgage payment may not go up at all. Or I've seen where clients have taken out $20,000 and their mortgage payment goes up $100. So it's not a bad deal for them because it's something that's manageable as opposed to them going through school, taking out student loans, and now they have a couple $100 payment on top of their mortgage. It may not be a bad idea at all.
Another thing I want to get into, and I'm going away from this, but at the same time, because it's not necessarily back school related, but it's timely right now because the eviction moratorium has ended. And I know there may just be quite a few things that are happening, including possibly some foreclosures and whatnot, and then also having to repay the forbearance, and there may be issues coming up. Can you suggest just some ways of handling this situation for people that may be caught in a bind right now in terms of how to deal with their mortgage companies or even landlords that have been caught in between, you know, having to deal with tenants and, you know, having to keep their property and work with the mortgage company. Do you have any suggestions with that?
So I know if I read correctly in regards to the eviction moratorium, which ended, I think FHA extended it, which I'm assuming that conventional loans may actually follow, but that's not the situation right now, but, you know, maybe. But if that's not the case where they will follow suit with FHA, then the best thing I could tell anybody is to get on the phone with their mortgage company ASAP and try to work out some type of deal, get back into a repayment plan. If you cannot afford the repayment plan that they are offering, then the next best thing I could possibly say is that you may have to, you know, strongly consider selling the home. One thing is, you know, that's different from in today's market, that a lot of homeowners actually do have some type of equity in their home, whether it's $20,000 in equity or $150,000 in equity. So don't let this loan go to a point where the bank starts the foreclosure process, you rack up attorney's fees and all kinds of fees, and that $100,000 equity could quickly be ate up by attorney fees in a matter of months. It's not like something that has to drag out for years for, you know, $50,000 worth of fees to be racked up. So work with the mortgage company. The mortgage company actually does not – their goal is not to foreclose on the home. Their goal is to collect funds. So they want to know, can they work something out with you? If you can't work something out, they're going to – and you say, hey, I'm going to put the home on the market. I could probably have the money to you within 30 days, you know, maybe 60 days. They're definitely going to be it's very likely that they're going to be willing to work with you. But don't let that foreclosure go on your record, because that's going to put you out of purchasing a home for even longer period of time once things bounce back for you. Because any challenge that you're going through right now, especially due to the pandemic, it's most likely temporary. You know, you just have to make it through this point, but you don't want to get put in a place that once you do bounce back, you have this foreclosure on your record. You have to wait a couple more years before you can purchase.
Okay. All right. I do want to get to another topic that I think we can cover before break, and that is I have had people ask me about getting into the mortgage business, being, I guess, a lender or a loan originator or whatever. And so I was wondering, can you talk, since we're talking about going to school or going back to school, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it takes to get into the business.
Sure. So one of the first things that you have to do is get licensed. And you can actually get licensed by actually going to the NMLS, and not to be confused with the MLS, but the NMLS is the National Mortgage Licensing, to actually request an NMLS number. And once you actually apply for your NMLS account and ID number, the next is that you want to take some pre-licensing the pre-licensing course and then take the test. So there's no way for you to just take the test without going through the course. You actually have to put in the 20 hours, and it can all be done online. They do have a lot of in-classroom, you know, in-person classes if that's the way you prefer to learn. But they also have a lot of online classes as well, too. And the way that it's set up is that you actually have to wait for the clock to go down to zero before you can go to the next page for the class. So there's no way to get around the 20 hours. You have to put in the work. But whenever you go through the 20 hours, it's actually going over a lot of stuff when it comes to regulations, whether it comes to some of the basics of mortgages, terms, a lot of laws, ethics. Those are the type of things that you go through with the 20-hour SAFE pre-licensing course. Then after you do that and you pass the course, then you actually apply for your MLO license. And MLO is for Mortgage Loan Originator. So you apply for the MLO license for the state that you would like to get approved in. So if you're in Florida, you apply for Florida. Now keep in mind that based on each state, they may actually have some additional requirements. But for the most part, these basic steps are what's needed for every single state. Just a state or two may have one additional item that's needed, but you still have to go through the 20-hour course, register for an NMLS ID for everybody, for every state. And then once you apply for your license, they'll do a background check and credit check. And once, for the most part, as long as you pass those, then you'll be approved through the state of, well, whatever state you apply in. Now, one thing to keep in mind, because I know sometimes when people hear credit checks, they get a little nervous, but you don't have to have a perfect credit score to become a licensed loan originator. But what they're really looking for is anything that may be going on credit-wise that you may put another person's information at jeopardy. They're just trying to make sure that there's no risk. Let's say that you're in, you know, there's a history of having hard financial situations and there's a lot of financial things that are stacking up against you on your credit. One of the main things they're trying to make sure is that you wouldn't jeopardize somebody else's information in order to put you in a better position. Now, I've definitely known a lot of people who just came out of bankruptcies, have collections, late payments on their account. And what you're going to be required to do is provide a strong letter to the NMLS to let them know what was the situation that put you into that position and how you've actually overcome that situation that won't continue to be a problem. So, you know, kind of almost like it is if you're applying for a loan and you've had a couple of challenges. The same thing when it comes to becoming a licensed broker. You don't have to have perfect credit. You just want to make sure that overall you have a clean background, and if there's anything going on in your credit, you just want to have an idea of what put you into that position. And for the most part, that's all that's required to become licensed. Now, at that point, you have to actually find a broker to associate your license with. So that's where you want to start going through the interview process. Also, you're interviewing mortgage companies to find out what would be the best fit for you. So different mortgage companies have different setups. Some mortgage companies, you're more independent. This is for the ones that are out there, you know, in people's face all the time, networking, get in the business, and you know the business, you don't need so much of assistance. Those type of setups are, you know, are great for certain people because, yes, you may have higher commission splits, but you don't have any type of support. Everything is pretty much on you. They just provide the house for you to do your loans in. And there's others that will actually take you through the step. You have lower splits, commission splits, but they teach you from A all the way to Z. So certain people get into those environments and they stay in those environments their whole career. Certain people get in those environments they teach from A to Z. They work in that environment for a year or two, and then they go work for another shop that more so fits their needs. And usually the A to Z shops pretty much have hours for you to come in. You're going to come in at a certain time. You're going to leave at a certain time. With the shops that are more independent, if you don't show up for work for 3 weeks, then nobody's bothering you. So it's really – you also have to find out what type of setup fits your needs. Or you can also work for a bank. That's also another option. I mentioned broker because I'm pro-broker. I feel like it offers a lot more opportunities to clients, but some people prefer to work with a bank. It limits you in regards to your programs, but it's also an excellent setup as well, too.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying because the program limitation is the thing that always gets to me, you know, because I'm always looking for as many options as possible for my customer. And, you know, when there's limitations and stuff, you know, I know there are certain customers that are comfortable with the bank that they, you know, already have, you know, thinking, well, the bank has my history, the bank knows me, and all this type of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, to me, you are more beneficial as a mortgage broker because you have the options to give my customer. And so that's where I'm more inclined to go. But I will go wherever the customer feels comfortable with, you know, whatever works for that customer because everybody is different. So we are going to take a quick break. We are here with Jabir Najeer of Ryerjohn Mortgage. It is Mortgage Monday on G's Power Hour. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitz. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Mortgage Monday, first Monday of the month on G's Power Hour. And if you have questions for our mortgage guru, Jabir Najeer of Ryerjohn Mortgage, the number is 516-387-1944. And so let's get down to the real nitty-gritty, as the song used to say. Mortgage rates, where are we now? What's going to happen with them? Give us the 411.
Yes, so as I was mentioning earlier, the rates actually have come down quite a bit since the last time that we spoke. When it comes to FHA rates, we're looking right around the 2.375 to 2.5 as of today. And the conventional rates are at 2.75%. So whereas some of the lowest rates that we've actually had over the last 6 months, and, you know, we have maintained overall low rates over the last, you know, actually over the last year, but maybe right around mid-February, end of February, rates start to increase, and then we start to see rates go right above 3%. And I think that we get so conditioned on these rates that start with 2 anything, that when we hear 3.00001, it's just like, you know, why are these rates so high? But those rates, don't get me wrong, are still good rates, 3%. But luckily, rates have actually come down over the last couple weeks. So if you were on the fence on locking in a rate or moving forward with refinancing, right now may be a very, very good time to lock in that rate. And if you were in the market and you came out of the market because of rise in interest rates coupled with increase in house prices, right now may be the time for you to go back and look at that home that was right outside your price range because of the rate and see if it actually fits within your budget now.
Now, what if you were one of those people that, you know, refied last year, like I did, it was 3, but it was still good considering what we had. If you were one of those people, then, I mean, it's a like half, you know, percentage. Is that something you should consider, or is that just way too much to go through again, you know, because you still do have fees and stuff to pay?
Yes, there's a good chance that it may not be worth it for you, but I'm not going to say for you to not take a look at it, but because when you refinanced last year, rates were low, and if the rates are actually a little bit lower, you know, you could save a quarter point or a half a point. When you actually look at the additional costs that are included within the refinance, you look back and you may notice that it's actually not really worth it because, yes, you may save, let's say, an additional – and everybody's mortgage loan amount is different, so I don't want to, you know, say a certain number, but it could be $30. But if you have a mortgage where you have to include a couple thousand dollars, even, you know, $5,000 to save that $30, is it really worth it? You have to look at your break-even point. And somebody who may have a higher mortgage may – look at it as, okay, I'm saving $150, but how much did your loan amount increase to say that $150? So what you have to do is take that amount that the loan amount increased and divide it by your savings to actually find out what is your break-even point. And you may find out that that break-even point is 6, 7, sometimes 8 years from now, and you have to decide, like, number one, will you be in the home 8 years from now? Because certain people have already decided when they move in the home that they're only going to be in the home for 5 years or 6 years, whatever the time period may be. But also, is that $30 or $40, what is that $30 worth to you 8 years from now? If we think about it, what $100 used to do for us 10 years ago, it can't do the same thing for us today. So I'm not saying that we want to throw $100 down the trash, but it's just not worth what it was back then. You could get a lot less for it. You know, gas prices are up, food prices are up, you know, our electric bills are higher. You know, there's so much different things that take away from $100 now. You have to really decide if it's really worth it for you. So everybody's situation is different, but I will say there's a very high chance that if you did refinance last year that it may not be worth it this year.
Yeah, I'm still debating it. I mean, it was truly worth it for us to do it last year because of the rate that we had. What it allowed us to do with the difference in terms of what we had to pay is to give us the option to take that money and instead of paying principal and interest, we took that difference and started paying it on just the principal. Also, we one of the things that we did, because things went up, like insurance went up, it allowed us to also kind of back up our escrow a little bit, too. So when this year came around, you know, we're going to be in better shape with the escrow. So it did help. Now, trying to do it again for a half of a, you know, percentage, I'm just really not sure. But like you said, everybody's situation is different. So.
Yes, yes. And one thing you mentioned that was a very good point is to have a plan for those savings. I have definitely have had clients that have come back and repeat clients over the years, and definitely truly, truly value all my clients. But one of the things that, even though I'm getting new business, one of the things, especially as certain clients become older, is that you really want to make sure that they're put into a better position as they get into the years that they may not be able to work as much or at all. And I find that a lot of times that they may save a lot of money. You know, I've had clients save $75 a month, and I've had clients save $1,000 a month in refinancing. But one of the things that is not uncommon is for that client to come back 2 or 3 years from now because they racked up a lot of other debt and they're trying to find a way to eliminate some of that debt because, you know, they may have less income or whatever situation may be. But just because you have extra money is what basically it all boils down to. Just because you have extra money doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend the money. Like literally I've had clients that have saved $600-$700 and within 6 months they went and bought a new brand new truck. You know, they had an additional $700 that they weren't spending. So they're like, I had to spend it on something, and they go buy a new truck, you know? So we definitely see that a lot, and, you know, not saying that you should make the decision whenever you're, you know, you're younger, you should make that choice when you're younger. But, you know, for my clients who are older, that's one of the things that I truly, truly, truly hate to see. I mean, I can't, you know, I can't do anything about it except for try to put them in a better position. But once, you know, mm-hmm. you made the purchase, but, you know, I definitely love to see, you know, those when they get to a certain point that they're starting to eliminate those larger debts instead of trying to figure out how they're going to balance it all.
Well, the thing, too, is no matter what your age is, COVID hadn't taught you anything to expect the unexpected. You know, so you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, you know, if someone's going to get suddenly ill and you need some of those extra funds that you could have been, you know, storing away. Or like you know, you said with someone older, one of the things you want to do is maybe put that, you know, like I said, back on principle because, I'm, you know, in our case, I'm thinking about I don't want us to be, you know, doing this daily grind come retirement time. You know, we can't retire because of this or we can't retire because of that. You know, you don't want to be – and there's a lot of people out there that are like that, you know.
Yeah.
And so
– And don't get me wrong, don't be embarrassed to call your broker if you're back in that position, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way because we really, truly, and hopefully the broker you work with really, truly does want to help you. But, you know, some clients you really, you know, certain clients is very transactional. There's certain clients you actually have some type of good rapport. I mean, I've been invited to graduations and dinners and barbecues for some of my clients, but you actually do have some type of relationship with these clients. It may not be a client you talk to every day or every couple of months, but there is something there. So you do want to know that this person that you've made some type of rapport with, that they're in a better position. And sometimes when they do come back, you're like, man, you really wish that they followed this plan. But, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, man, I don't want to go back to my broker because, you know, we honestly do want to see you in better positions. And we do appreciate the business. But as I mentioned, mm-hmm. sometimes whenever a client comes back for, you know, their fourth or fifth refinance, and as I mentioned, you know, as they get older, you really want to make sure that your client isn't put in a position where they're in their 70s or 80s and they're having to really get up and work harder than what their body is really allowing them to do just to maintain. You know, you want,
right.
You know, you like to imagine that your clients get to go off and enjoy their later years without having to, you know, worry about, you know, shifting money around to make the basic needs.
Right. Oh, gosh, Jabir, who would not invite you over? I mean, seriously, I mean, they're missing out if they don't. So, anyway. So, now, you know, I do want to ask about some of the different products out there, what's popular right now. You know, I mean, I've heard that a lot of people were doing because they had to be home, and I guess they got to see a lot of things up close and personal in their house, that they were doing a lot home improvements. So I'm sure that maybe some of those renovation loans, like the was it 203K and Homestyle loans, are they still real popular right now?
They are popular, but I've found that I'm getting a lot less of those.
Okay.
I guess it could be because of a couple of reasons. First is maybe because people either finished all the home projects over last year or, you know, they're going back to work. Also, the material costs are actually higher. I was actually reading an article, so maybe it may not only be me now that I'm actually thinking about it, because I read an article that that said that some projects are actually slowing down because homeowners are finding that just, you know, little stuff like the cost of lumber and all that stuff that spiked, even though lumber is coming back down, may have been a reason why homeowners aren't, you know, taking out truckloads of materials for home improvement projects. So is it still a popular program? Absolutely. But I feel as if it's kind of slowing down from where it was last year. But as I said, we pretty much had a whole year to sit around and catch up on everything. So I think for a lot of homeowners, they caught up on what they were able to catch up on.
Right. I talked to a builder within the last couple of weeks that talked about windows, trying to get windows in the houses. So, yeah, that whole thing with the materials is really taking its toll. But hopefully, you know, as people, you know, start to go back into these different fields on a regular basis and people start to, I guess, generate more within the economy, that we'll see some of those prices, you know, go down or at least stabilize, so people will know what to expect when they're either purchasing or improving on their house. So we are going to take our last break. We are here with Jabir Najir of Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, 516-387-1944 is the number. G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's Mortgage Monday on G's Power Hour. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. We're here with Jabir Najir of Rajan Mortgage. And so, Jabir, what else are we looking at with mortgages right now?
With mortgages, when it comes to FHA conventional financing, for those who are self-employed, things are still a little tough whenever it comes to proving that there's income coming in. So one of the things I do want to mention is just what is forefront of my mind, because one of the recent files I was working on, is that if you're self-employed and looking to either refinance or purchase a home, it is super, super important that you show money going into that business account over the last 3 months. It doesn't matter how your income comes in, if all your income, you know, if you're seasonal and most of your income comes in a certain period of the year, maybe early in the year or in the first part or later part of the year, they're going to look at the last 3 months of business statements. No matter how much money you have in your personal account, no matter what you claimed on your tax returns, no matter what's on your profit and loss for the year, they want to see the bank statements to make sure that money is still going into that account. So that's one of the biggest things. But they did get rid of – a lot of lenders did actually get rid of the overlay that required self-employed borrowers to have a certain amount of money in their account for reserves. So that is a good thing, because that's one thing that made it a little tougher for self-employed borrowers over the W-2 employees. But that would probably be one of the biggest things when it comes to self-employed borrowers. Other than that, with FHA and conventional, definitely look into some of these 100% programs for if you're in the market purchasing. I know that there are a lot of clients who have actually saved up their 3.5% or 5% for their down payment, but as you probably know, that it's almost impossible, if not impossible, maybe I should say almost impossible, to get a set to pay closing costs anymore. So now you're having to go back and save more money, but now with some of these programs that are available for your area, you could actually use that money for your down payment and put it towards your closing costs and just finance the full loan. Now, this is totally different from the teacher's program, but for those that are interested in that program, the rates are a little higher on that program if you find a lender that offers it, but the great thing is that it actually gets you into a home as opposed to having sit on the sidelines, has, you know, inventory is short, and homes are, you know, fine, you know, it's very competitive when it comes to putting in offers. So at least this makes you a little bit more competitive when you actually put the offer on a home.
So Sorry, I did like you did, hit that mute button and wouldn't let me go. Anyway, so one of the things that I wanted to ask you, too, about is we talked a little bit – oh, before I go there, I wanted to ask you about hurricane season that we're still in and stuff like that. And usually we peak around next month, but just wanted to find out if there are things – if there are things that people should be considering as we go into, you know, go further into the season, because I'm just thinking if you, let's say, apply for a mortgage now or you find a house now and, you know, it's going to take, what, how many days average right now before closing?
It depends on the program, but I would still safely say 30 days.
30 days, okay. So, I mean, there still is a chance if you found a house today and if you were already pre-approved for your mortgage, which you should do before going out house hunting, my suggestion, that you could close on something prior to the peak of the season, which I think usually falls around September 10th. Because if you end up in that peak season, peak part of the season, or, you know, you end up, I guess, what is it, this cone of uncertainty, so to speak, where the hurricane may or may not be going around that time, you're going to have a hard time closing because of insurance, you know, because they cut off, I think, was it 10 days before, 10 days after the watch or warning or something like that? Is it something like that?
Well, it's more so once it gets inside of a box. So once you're inside that box, these insurance companies pretty much start shutting down right after another. So I don't really want to say it's a certain amount of days as opposed to once it enters this box and exits this box. So if you know a hurricane is coming, even if you are not sure of the actual closing date, let's just say right now, just throw out numbers, it could be a closing date on August 20th or it could be a closing date on August 15th. It's not a problem to bind that insurance for August 15th. At least you have insurance on the home. So, yes, if you do close on August 17th or 18th, yes, you may have actually paid for insurance for 3 days that you may not have actually owned the home. But you can actually have that as long as it's not you try to move the date out a whole month. But if it's a couple of days, you can actually contact the insurance company and they actually adjust the date that they actually started to bind their binder date. But for some reason they won't adjust those numbers. It's not a big deal. I mean, the amount that you lost is minimal as compared to you possibly not being able to close at all for a week or so because there's a hurricane. So let's just say that a hurricane comes in that box. It's a slow-moving hurricane, and you're supposed to close on the 16th. It goes in that box on the 13th. And it goes from one side of Florida back to the other side. You could actually be in this period for a week and a half that you cannot close on a home. And if you live in Florida, you are definitely aware that you could have a hurricane that's heading to Orlando, for example, and all of a sudden it just bounces off the coast, and the most Orlando got was a bunch of broken branches everywhere, but no damage to any house in Orlando. But because you went inside that box, you have to wait for it to exit the box, and there's a possibility that the insurance company or lender may actually require a reinspection of the home if it did get too close to that area. But if it didn't get too close to that area, you can still close, then you can't close because for the insurance company, they play it extremely safe. I mean, we've had hurricanes that are still out there by the islands, and they cut off insurance for anything in Florida, period. So you may be in Orlando, and the hurricane is outside the United States, and they'll just cut it off.
Yeah. And that's what I was concerned about because, you know, like I said, if you can get pre-approved right now, and if you find something right now, you have – possibly a good chance of getting, you know, if you have all your paperwork together, everything. I know I'm saying if, but I mean, things have to be in place, and they should be in place regardless. But if you're thinking about buying a home and you're trying to do it, in the peak of hurricane season, it's not necessarily a good time because then, yeah, you're going to have to get reinspected possibly just to make sure that no damage was done. But like he was saying, the insurance companies are really strict when it comes to that. But I did want to throw that out there because, there are people that may be house hunting right now, and you just need to know that still want you to be thorough. Still want you to be thorough. But the sooner you can get things moving and progressing before we get into the peak of hurricane season, the better. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So, Jabir, how can we get in contact with you, sir?
Yes, you can always email me directly at Jabir, J-A-B-I-R, at Riajan, R-I-A-J-A-N.com. Or you can contact me directly on my cell at 321-239-5814. Once again, that's 321-239-5814. Keep in mind, I'm licensed to lend anywhere in the state of Florida and Georgia. So any questions, feel free to give me a call. Even if you're outside those states and you have general questions, I don't mind helping you out to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day and weekend, and hopefully, God willing, talk to you next month. Take care.
Sounds good. All right, bye.
Bye. Oh, man, if you are not taking advantage of living in Florida and being outdoors, even though the weather gets kind of iffy, I would just suggest, trying to take advantage of the outdoors, be socially distanced and safe. But, yes, last night I had the wonderful opportunity to go with family and friends to see Dave Koz and friends, Summer Horns tour, which was here in Orlando. Unfortunately, I was looking for dates for everybody because it was good. It was so good. Glad I got a chance to go. I don't see any other dates in Florida. So if you know of any other dates in Florida for the Dave Koz Summer Horns tour, Dave Koz and Friends, go see it. It was really, really good. Maybe they'll be at the Clearwater Jazz Festival in October. I don't know. That's one of my favorite things to do, too. Just to let you know, tomorrow we are going to have someone on from Metroplan Orlando. We are going to discuss infrastructure. As you all know or should know, right now there's the big infrastructure package that's being debated and hopefully worked through and everything. Do you know how it's going to affect us here in Central Florida? And do you know about the transportation plans? Because if you are on the roads, it's crazy out there. People have lost their minds with some of this driving. But not just that, we've got to look, the capacity of the roads, whether or not they're suitable for our traffic here, especially with us continuing to have more and more people moving into the area. So we're going to talk a little bit about the infrastructure package. We're going to talk about transportation issues and planning here in Central Florida. So please be with us tomorrow. Friday, Paul V. Shelton is on with us. So don't forget to be with us then. And we've got some other things going on too. So take care. Be well. Be safe. Be blessed. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God. table.
Whatever you need,
whatever you need,
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.